Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I'm Pastor John. The ministry of Headed Home is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find and answer the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
Amen. He is worthy of all the glory, the majesty, the dominion, the power, and all praise be unto him. So thankful that we have a God this morning that loves us in spite of our worst failings. There is nothing we can do right now, no matter where you're at. You may be on a spiritual mountaintop, or you may be right now face first in the lowest valley you've ever imagined being in. Do you realize God loves you as much right there as he does those who are on a mountaintop? And that is the unchanging power and the love of God. That's why this morning I praise him and I thank him, because he is ever faithful. If you're here this morning, by the way, on this beautiful day, it is not by chance and it's not by accident. You made a conscious choice to come and worship today. And I pray that if you're here this morning, that you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I hope you are walking with God one in one, hand in hand, in essence, as the picture is in the Garden of Eden. And by the way, if you are, all things are going to be restored one day, and we're going to dwell eternally with him. And I hope that you're longing for that day in spite of everything going on around. We talked about last Sunday, nothing's outside of God's knowledge, allowance, or control. And one day, when the old scripture talks about the old order of things is going to pass away and all things will be new. And I'm excited about that. I hope you're excited about that. I hope you're excited about the future in the presence of the Lord. There is one thing for sure. People are dying. And you're either today dying to live or you're living to die. And I hope it's the latter. I hope you are living to die. I hope you realize that this is a place we're to be in, but not of. We're to be in the world, but not of the world. We have been called out. God has a unique plan for you, you personally. I can't fulfill your plan. You can't fulfill my plan. God has a unique plan, and this is the interesting part. If you don't fulfill the plan that God has for you, there potentially will be people that God was going to have you minister to that don't get ministered to. You realize with your children, you're the first picture of God that they ever see. Moms, you're the first picture of Christ that your children ever see. We have a huge obligation to not only start living for the Lord right now, but also to pass that on to our children. Those of you who may not have come to Christ until you're older, that's okay, because you have a grand opportunity. You can pray them into the kingdom. Prayer is a powerful weapon, and I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that's much greater than the litany of words that many times we try to do the work of God. You know, I'll guilt them into going to church or to getting right, and I'm just going to keep talking and keep talking. Let me tell you what, there comes a point when it's time to stop talking. It's time when you have said everything that you can say to get into a much more powerful realm, and what is that? The realm of prayer. Prayer is a powerful weapon, and I pray that you're trusting Scripture in those regards, but also with yourself, that you're working out your salvation, as Scripture says, with fear and trembling, realizing that a holy God loves you. That enough is enough to make you tremble and realize how in the world, what is that song from the late 2000s? Who are you, O God, that you are mindful of me? God, I cannot even believe that you are mindful of me. I'm nothing. In the scope of space and time, when you think about the cosmos, if you even can grasp a little bit of that, if you've done any kind of looking at what we have out there from the perspective of what they teach, we are very small. And we have an infinite God. God did not create something more incredible than he is. So guess what? The God that we serve is infinite. He has no bound. There's nothing that constrains him. And I'm so thankful for that today. You know what, son? You know what today is? It's Palm Sunday. Amen. When I went to Israel, the two times I went, I had the privilege of being able to walk down off the Mount of Olives where this story happened. You'd often think, you know, it'd be this grand road that's massive and, you know, that people could have lined by the thousands on each side. I'll be honest with you, The road that this occurred on is no bigger from the pulpit to here right now. Two cars cannot go up and down that together. If you actually meet another car, you can't pull off on the side. There's actually little walls on both sides. So one would have to back up. You would not want to back up. you would definitely not want to back up the Mount of Olives. But it is not what you'd think. Now, it is beautiful because it overlooks the city, looks Jerusalem. It's gorgeous. Now, all on the sides of the Mount of Olives are thousands upon thousands upon thousands of graves. All the way around Jerusalem, there are graves you just can't even, it's actually a wild picture. When you see it in person, it's even more wild. And you know how here everybody faces, right, east? You know why that is? It's very important. When I go do a funeral, the director always says, hey, pastor, the head's going to be here. This, you know, this is going to be pointed this way. You know, we always stand at the head. You know why that is? Resurrection. Now, when you go to Israel, there's an interesting thing that occurs. So right around Jerusalem there, you got the Temple Mount, right? People, that's where Christ can come back. On this way, they're facing this way, and on this side, they're facing that way. Everybody's face so that they'll have a central view of when Christ comes. It's just kind of an interesting thing. You've not really, I don't think any of us really have thought about that. How anywhere east of Jerusalem is going to be pointed in what direction? Exactly. They're going to be faced this way. All with the central focus, Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And I want you to be assured this morning, you may not see it being alive right now, but you will be when it happens. Every man, woman, boy, or girl, whether you die before you have the ability to die an old person, you're not dead when you die. You are more alive than you've ever been in your lifetime. And I'm excited about that. And the reason we're going to look at that this morning, if you have your Bibles, turn to Zechariah chapter 9. Verses 9 to 11. By the way, visitors, it's an honor to have you. It's a blessing. I get so excited that this is what happens. Instead of me doing the normal thing that a guy who is just normally wired would go through, the good morning, welcome, it's so wonderful to have you today. Well, we're so thankful that you've, you know, visitors, it's a great, I'm sorry, I'm just so ADD that I'm already in the middle of the sermon. I'm so excited about the scripture today. I'm so excited about Palm. I'm so excited about next week. I got to be careful that I don't start talking about next week, because that's what's ultimately going to happen. I love Easter Sunday. It's one of my favorite Sundays. When we think about the culmination, remember at Christmas, I love Christmas too. Not because of presents. I love Christmas because it represents the birth of Christ Jesus. But without Easter, Christmas means nothing. How many quote-unquote prophets in these religions that are saying, follow me because you'll have some semblance at what eternity, paradise, all these things that they talk about. All of them had a figure that is DEAD. Police world, we call it 10-7, out of service. They didn't rise from the grave. They didn't conquer hell and death. And I can't even imagine being caught in the deception of following some figure that does not have the ability to conquer death, because if you can't conquer death, you're not going to live. Amen? You're going to be dead, but truth is going to be truth whether you find it, realize it, or not. My biggest thing is whether you accept it. The heavens declare the glory, the earth the work of God's hands. So literally the creative genius of God outside is screaming creator. And I'm so thankful that I saw that documentary many years ago about these two British guys that were documentarists. They went over to one of the unreached people groups. They actually were at the tribe that was a sister tribe of theirs that was more acclimated to outside contact. They went to them, learned the language of this unreached people group, and through them were allowed to go and spend, if I remember correctly, it was about 16 months with them. Phenomenal documentary. I forwarded it to a few of you over the years, but it was so wild as I'm watching this thing. I mean, these people are tribal as tribal gets. Clothes, optional kind of a thing. They were just literally as unreached gets. And these two documentaries, by the way, they were not Christians. It was plain from the very onset of it. What was so phenomenal, though, as they got to understand the rituals and the customs of these people, These people were saying that they wanted nothing to do with the outside world because they were ready. They were in the perfect garden worshiping the great, they call it Rafafu, the creator. Wonder where they got that from. I'll tell you where they got it from. It's called Pentecost. All representatives from the nations all around the globe, all over the world, you read it, you'll see what I'm talking about. God brought them all together to hear the gospel truth. So the gospel truth has been disseminated to these places all over the globe. I think God has had us ultimately go and re-reach some of them. But this is what's so profound. They were worshiping the Creator. They had the picture of being in the perfect garden. It's so interesting not having any Bible at all. They are worshiping a Creator. God has created us. What does the Bible say? God has put eternity in the hearts of man. And I'm excited about that today because part of what we're going to see today, the title of the message this morning is Our King is Coming. Our King is Coming. We're going to look at Zechariah chapter 9, verses 9 through 11. Now, we're in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. But what we're going to see this morning is a prophecy of what we are celebrating this morning. This occurred about 400 years ago. Zechariah prophesies 400 years before Palm Sunday that Palm Sunday was going to happen. Zechariah didn't get into his little crystal ball. He didn't have one of those little things from the 80s that we had that you shake up and ask it a question. It was, now thinking about it, it's demonic. But you'd shake that thing up, you know, does somebody so love me, you know, maybe. You know, and you'd do that. And he didn't have nothing like that. He didn't do that because he thought, you know what, let's see if we can sit back and say something that may happen so it'll give me validity. No, this was a prophetical utterance of God because the king was coming. And all throughout Scripture, as we've been talking about, not only do you have the typologies, but from the very Garden of Eden, the picture of what was going to happen and what had to happen happened in the very first blood sacrifice. And that was when God clothed Adam and Eve after they had sinned. I'm so thankful this morning that what we're going to see in this is not only the picture of what this represented in the prophecy of what was going to happen, but also two distinct things that this speaks to in this scripture that we are blessed being able to see this very day. I'm so excited that this speaks to something that we're going to deal with as I just referenced about the fact that when we die, we are more alive than we've ever been. Under the old covenant, when you died, what happened? You were sleeping. You were in what's called soul sleep, meaning you were in a kind of a place of chillaxing, relaxing. You were chilled out. We know that from Scripture. We see that in Scripture. You see that with Samuel at the witch at Endor, remember? When they called up the witch, called up Samuel with the witch at Endor, Saul did. What was his first statement to him? Why'd you disturb me? Why'd you bother me? Leave me alone. I'm resting. I'm out of this place. Don't bother me. But it basically is a picture of what that soul sleep was in the Old Testament. But we're also going to look at why we know that now that is not needed to happen anymore. What was preventing that from happening? We're going to see in this beautiful picture of Zechariah chapter 9, verses 11, in the picture of what happened at the first Palm Sunday. If you have found Zechariah chapter 9, verses 9 through 11, if you are physically able this morning, let's stand out of reverence for the reading of God's word. Remember now, this is speaking to future. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout in triumph, daughter Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, humble, riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The bow of war will be removed, and he will proclaim peace to the nations. His dominion will extend from sea to sea, from the Euphrates River to the ends of the earth. As for you, because of the blood of your covenant, I will release your prisoners from the waterless cistern. Father, thank you, Lord, this morning for the privilege of having your word to read. God, the privilege of assembling as the body of Christ. Lord, I'm so thankful today that that is the uniting factor, Lord, that makes us one in Jesus. Lord, thank you today that you know exactly where we are at, all of us in different places, Lord, some on mountains, some in valleys, and every other somewhere in between, Father, but we're so thankful today that your word brings hope to any situation and every situation we may ever face. Father, I'm so thankful today that it is by grace we have been saved through faith. Lord, as we reflect on what Palm Sunday means to us, God, we give your Holy Spirit full and free reign to do whatever it is that you want to do. I pray if there's one in this building or watching online that does not know you as Lord and Savior, that today will be the day of salvation. God, above all, Lord, may you alone be the sole focus of everything said and done, and may you be glorified. We ask this in the precious name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Verse 9 again. So rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, daughter of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming. He is righteous, victorious, humble, riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. What a beautiful picture right there of what was going to happen 400 years later. Isn't that profound? I mean, this is what's so awesome about God's word. Do you really think that Zechariah, you think he really understood fully what God was having him prophesy? May? Do you think he had a picture, a vision in his mind of what was going to occur? I don't know. Neat to think about, isn't it? Just kind of neat things to sit back and, you know, it's the same thing as when Christians do this. I don't want to talk to the, unless they want to do it in a friendly way. You know, when people sit around and go, you know, I wonder if Adam and Eve really did have a belly button. You might say, you know, well, does it matter? It doesn't matter. But some people will sit around and they'll talk about those things. You know, the chicken come or the egg, you know, the whole thing. Same craziness when somebody says, well, if a tree falls in the woods, does it make noise? Oh, come on. Amen? Let's talk about something with relevance. Amen? Let's talk about God's word. Let's talk about things like this right here, because no matter what you know and what you believe, guess what the truth was? This happened. It happened exactly like Zechariah prophesied that it would happen. And the first thing comes out of that this morning, it's this. Jesus' triumphal entry was prophesied over 400 years before it happened by Zechariah. Now, the interesting part we get to is with these last two in verse 10. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The bow of war will be removed. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His dominion will extend from sea to sea, from the Euphrates River to the ends of the earth, and we'll stop there. Now, interesting thing, question. Once Jesus came, what about this peace? We see it, basically what it's saying is, all over the earth there is going to be peace, right? This dominion will extend from sea to sea, from the Euphrates to the ends of the earth. Well, Brother Jonathan, what happened? Because it's not speaking about what's going to happen in the earthly context. Jesus was talking about ushering in the kingdom of heaven. He's talking about the new covenant. He's talking about what was going to happen in uniting us, those who profess and come to faith in Jesus Christ, there would be. Because no longer are we at odds with God as Christians. Even people who loved God in the Old Testament, what was there an issue with? There was a dividing wall. We know about the temple, the Holy of Holies, and only those in the priesthood could go and enter. And by the way, they better be right when they did, because remember, tied around the old foot was a ropey-ropey, and when the bell stopped ringing because the bells that were on the bottom of their robes stopped making noise, you know, one of them had gone in there and hadn't taken care of what needed to be taken care of. Gone. Pull them out. Next. There was enmity that was between us and God. Started in the Garden of Eden when sin was invited in. It brought, instead of walking with God, there was division. There was separation. What do we talk about? You've got God created uniformity. He created oneness with us. Mankind's choice to sin broke that, and that division, that chasm that separates is hell. Jesus Christ was the one that came to restore that. Beautiful picture of what Palm Sunday represents is Jesus Christ is getting ready in this final week. He comes in celebrated as what? King. And then a week later, they're killing him. God had a plan and purpose in every bit of it, though. And what's so exciting, and the second thing I'm going to share with you this morning is this. Jesus came to unite the world under the kingdom of heaven. He came to remove the division that we had with God. This enmity, what we know it by. There was this wall of separation that God removed through Christ Jesus. So when we profess faith in Jesus Christ, we go from, and everybody who's born, brothers and sisters, is born an object of God's wrath, born separated from him. When we confess our sin, place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and ask him to save us, to fill us with the Holy Spirit, what we have done is partaken in the new covenant and are then united with him. So when you and I pray, we are not having to anymore go to a priest and confess our sin to the priest, right? We're not having to go and have them offer sacrifices on our behalf to go into God's presence for us. No, you and I, in the middle of the night when I prayed last night, I was able to go into the Holy of Holies. I was able to go into God's presence. Why? Because of the eternal high priest, Jesus Christ. He is our eternal high priest. He is the one that paid the ultimate price, the sacrifice, in that robe of righteousness that we are clothed in as when we become a follower of Jesus Christ. Why I love the song, Solid Rock. When he may come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. Are you dressed in that robe of righteousness this morning? What does that robe of righteousness do? It shields us from the wrath of God, because though we've come to faith in Jesus Christ, we've repented of our sin, is there anybody in here who is sinless? Nobody is. There is not one righteous, no, not one. So that robe of righteousness shields us from the wrath of God. We are covered. We are paid for in full through what Jesus Christ did. I think it's a beautiful, conceptually we could talk about it all day, but see, Jesus came to unite the world under the kingdom of heaven. And see, his dominion will extend from sea to sea, from the Euphrates River to the end of the earth. And what was the other wild thing that happened in the rejection of Jesus from the Jewish people? There was no longer any dividing wall, was there? There was no dividing barrier. God opened up the Gentiles. He opened up the opportunity. This is why this morning, what amazing news for us. Because if the Jewish people had accepted what, I don't know. You ever thought about that? I've talked about it with you. It's kind of scary. I'm glad we're where we're at. I'm thankful for that. Though it's heartbreaking when you think of the Jewish people and what beauty in this plan that God had for them, it opened up the door for us as the Gentiles, and to God be the glory this morning. I thank him for it. And I'm so thankful, though, that the bow of war, see that enmity, that division with us and God, we were at war with God, that is gone. We proclaim peace because why? Jesus Christ has paved the way for us to have peace with God. So when this morning you woke up and you said, God, thank you for a new day, you weren't entering a place that you were not supposed to be. One of the real reasons, this qualifier that we say, what? In Jesus' name. Because we have no right to enter God's presence without that, do we? We didn't pay the price. He paid the price. He is our eternal high priest. Such a beautiful thing, isn't it? Jesus Christ is risen today. He's not dead. He's not gone. He is alive, and he's seated at the right hand of God, signifying the finished work of salvation. That's what's so awesome today, and why I encourage you so much in reading the Word. By the way, I got plenty of them. You don't, hey, listen, it's not too late to start. What is this, March? So we are one fourth? I'm not real good on that stuff. A fourth? Almost a fourth of the way. Some of y'all are laughing, they're math people going, how dumb can he be? All you've got to do is read a couple chapters extra. No, you don't even have to do that. If you read one extra chapter a day, you can still finish the Bible this year. So instead of reading three, you read four chapters a day. You know, how do I read all that stuff? I guarantee you read more social media than you do four chapters of the Bible a day. If you're reading an article, any news articles, it only takes about three news articles before you've read what you'd read in a given day. My question to you is this: what do you want your relationship with Christ to be? What do you want to know about this God that you say, ready? You say you want to spend your eternity with. If you're not willing to spend 20 minutes with him a day, hearing him pour his thoughts out to you and to me, sharing the infinite depth of his love with us and his desire to protect us, his desire to provide for us, his desire to grow us. He is literally standing there saying, how much of me do you want? And then I ask you, how much of him do you want? Or do you want this outside? You want this? This will leave you broken and hurt. This will leave you despondent. It will leave you alone. It will take you farther than you want to go, cost you more than you want to pay, and keep you longer than you want to stay. See, every Monday and Tuesday, I'm now dealing with many of my patients or hospice, and these people have a time limit on the time they have left, many of them in very little. I shared with you last, I've lost two patients minimum, probably more than that, but I know two for a fact in the last 14 days. They weren't that old. Gone. Not forgotten. Gone. They have transcended the bounds of this space and time, and they have walked off into eternity with the choice that they made, one of two places that all of us likewise are going to face. My question is, are you hanging on? And, you know, we have a lot of youth. Thank God for all the youth that we have in here, but we have a lot of us that are past those years. What I'm saying by that is we're on borrowed time. All of us are. Even the young people are, but more so, us older ones. I read an article this morning that there has been an explosion in abdominal cancers, by the way. Just read that this morning. I guess that was birthed, finally coming to be public knowledge after Kate Middleton and a bunch of people have been showing up with this stuff. So they don't understand, they can't figure out why this has happened. They call it an explosion. Well, I'm not worried about that. Meaning, I can drop dead of cancer tomorrow or whatever else it might be for that matter, and it's just not a big deal because I'm not worried about where I'm going. This is all temporal. I'm going to be in the presence of an infinite God that has an eternal plan for me and every person who places their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And that's an exciting thing. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, you say, Brother Jonathan, I don't know how you speak with such passion and with such certainty. Because God's word gives me the certainty, and if you don't believe that and you don't have that comfort, then you're dealing with an uncertainty, and that means that you've got a real faith issue. We dealt with that last week in one of the messages. All you've got to do, as a matter of fact, wasn't it last Sunday morning we talked about the faith? You have not because you ask not. Why don't you dig in the word, get in God's presence, pray that God would give you the faith of a mustard seed, and then live with that certainty that I have that's just such a comfort. It gives me what the scripture says, a peace that surpasses, that transcends all understanding. And if I end up living to be an old person one day, that as some have told me, one day you wake up and you've outlived everyone you know, I'm not going to be worried that I'm alone because I'll never be alone. As a matter of fact, Scripture tells me in Psalm 23 that what? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And I got to share that with that patient, one of them who I knew was a solid believer. I said, you know something? I said, God is here right now with you. I said, you're not experiencing anything that he has not been here with you in. And I said, sister, you just rest in the unchanging truth that he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Height nor depth, angels, principalities, nothing in all of creation can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, if that doesn't give you encouragement, we need to talk. And if you're not excited about hearing about that, then I don't know why you're here. Amen? Because that's exciting stuff, especially in the light of the reality that is facing all of us. Nobody gets out alive. But it's encouraging because truth is truth no matter what. And that's why this morning, see, Jesus came to unite the world under the kingdom of heaven. Are you a part of it? I'm not talking about a part of it in word alone. I'm talking about it, are you a part of that in the reality that you have come to a place where you understood, you didn't just say, well, I don't want to go to hell, so I want to pray a prayer and say some words, and no, I'm talking about where you realized your need for a Savior. You realized one day like I did, you know, life doesn't work unless I know my created purpose, and I can't know my created purpose until I know the Creator. And I recognized the sinful state that I was born in. And what's so wild about that is you recognize how vast that chasm is when you come to that place. And I remember vividly. And I remember giving my life to Christ. And I had a lot of battles with my mouth and addictions and things that I had. And I remember saying to God, I knew I couldn't stop doing anything. And with my mouth, I had a problem with that thing. And I said that day, Lord, I will not stop drinking, I won't stop smoking, and I'm not going to stop cursing. And if you're the God that I believe you are, you will take from me what needs to be taken, and you will put in me what needs to be put in. Because I had tried many times with things in my life to get victory over them, and I never got victory. I might have gotten a few weeks of doing good in human strength, but that's about as far as it got. What was so ironic is that was the last day I ever drank. Didn't choose to do that. It was the power of God that took out an emptiness in me that I didn't even realize that I had. God put, as I had been trying to stick all these different pegs inside of a God-shaped void, God filled that void, and what happened was it removed my need to try to fill an emptiness that I didn't know I had. See, church, that's what God does. But so many people find religion. They go into churches and tell them, listen, you be a good boy or girl, and girls, you wear this and you do that, and you don't say these words, and you don't use these substances, and if you do, you'll be a good little Christian, and God's going to love you. But boy, you better look out, because if you step outside of that, you know, you'll end up going to hell. I don't know, that don't sound to me like salvation by grace and through faith. You know what that sounds like? By works. We have not been saved by works. We're saved by grace and through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. But what was ironic is when I gave my life to Christ, I disdained religion in the sense that legalism, that's what I was talking about, these rules, because I never could keep them. And I thought, if that's what it's about, I'll never make it. What God helped me understand is about relationship, a relationship with Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit to change me to be what I never could be. It was God's ability through the power of the Holy Spirit to deliver me and ready to begin to transform me. As Scripture says, do not be patterned and conformed to the world any longer, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And what happened is in the renewing of the mind is where God began to do in me what I could not do with my greatest of strength in the human sense. That's what's so beautiful about this morning, this relationship with Jesus Christ, and what this Palm Sunday is. Jesus came as the King. He's King. Didn't matter that they killed him the next week. That was God's plan. He had to die and pay the debt for our sin, because had he not, church, we would be lost this morning. Had Jesus Christ not died, gone and kicked Satan in the teeth, taken back the title deed to earth and those who followers of Jesus Christ, church, we would be lost and without hope this morning. I'm so thankful he did. And I'm so thankful this morning that it is not about rules. It's not about what I can do and you can do to make God love us more, to be worried that if I don't wear these certain pants or these certain shoes or whatever, God's not going to be happy. I'm so thankful that it's not about that, is it? I'm so thankful that it is about the Spirit of God transforming us, conforming us, giving us the desire to get in His presence. As a matter of fact, what happens, the more you do it, the more you want it. The more you get in the Word and the more God pours His heart out to you, the more you desire that. Anybody know what I'm talking about? When you're praying and you get in a real, you just start spending time with God and it's like He's sitting there with you and you just can't wait to get in God's presence again because you know He's there, He's listening, and He loves you. And the more you do it, you almost start to feel guilty at times because sometimes you may end up praying and not hearing something somebody's saying because you're so desiring to spend time with the Lord that you are, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of the earth grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and His grace. That's what it is. By the way, there's nothing wrong with that. Just don't forsake what God has given you to do at your work. You stay focused. You can pray. It's great. Do it. But just make sure you're faithful so that the world may see Christ lived out in your life. Amen? Now, listen to verse 11 real quick. This is where it's real. As for you, because of the blood of your covenant, I will release your prisoners from the waterless cistern. Anybody know what that is? Soul sleep. They were on hold. They were waiting. They weren't able to enter God's presence. We're set free. What did Paul say? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Isn't that exciting? When we breathe our last breath as a follower of Jesus Christ, we are able to enter His presence. By the way, the same way that those who've rejected the gift of salvation through Christ Jesus are also going to be in a reality, having been given, as C.S. Lewis says, thy will be done, they will be in a place separated from God because they asked for that. Their desire was not to place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It might be, as you've heard some saying, me and God have an understanding. Church, I'm going to tell you something. There ain't no understanding. The understanding is what Scripture says, that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There is no one will be in God's presence who did not place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That is the only way, the gateway. There is only but one entrance, and anybody who enters in any other way, what does Scripture say? Is a thief and a robber. There is only one mediator. There is only one Savior. There is only one. And church, that is an undisputable truth. It is an absolute, what I call them. Not because I said it, it's because God's Word says it. And see, the beauty this morning is, church, our King's coming. Not only 400 years before, when Zechariah prophesied this, well, was it just a hope that maybe it would happen? No, it's fulfilled exactly like Scripture says. By the way, let me encourage you with something, or maybe a warning if you're not thinking it's going to happen. He's coming back. Jesus is coming back. By the way, all of this that we see one day is going to cease to exist. The Lord's going to destroy the earth once again, this time by what? By fire. First time before we hit the reset button was with water. Next time, every time we see the rainbow, it's called the Noahic Covenant. God once again saying, look, my promise to you, I'm not going to do it. He's given us the promise of what's going to happen this next time. Again, no fear. It is a very encouraging thing because there's very few prophecies left that need to be fulfilled in Scripture. I'm very excited about that. You know why? That means we're close to the time, as when Scripture says the time of the Gentiles will be fulfilled. We are approaching a time that all time and space is going to cease. Anybody ever thought about this? I wonder if there's going to be time in heaven. I don't think there will be. It doesn't matter if there is. It's no big deal. But I don't think there will be. I think it will be absolutely pointless Because we're not going to function under the old order of things. We're not going to, Scripture says, give and be given in marriage, and things are going to be different. Kind of neat, isn't it? I get excited when you read like Revelation chapter 5. That's where I start getting really excited, when we know what the consummate focus of our eternity is going to be. It is going to be in a perpetual state of worship. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. That is going to be exciting. I'm a music person, though. I love music. Music moves me. It does. It ministers to me. I could listen to music that could bring me down, music that can lift me up. There's all kind of music that does all kind of things, but I assure you, the worship around God's throne, can you imagine every believer that has ever existed around the throne worship in absolute perfection? You know, I read that book, 90 Minutes in Heaven. It was by, it was a Baptist pastor. His name just went. I'm sorry. I get worse, by the way. It gets worse. The older I get, the worse it'll get. Things will escape me. Don Piper, look at there. It came back. Thank you, Lord. But he was talking about the worship around the throne. He said every person was singing in their native language. You ever thought about this? Now, wait a second. My mom, singing out of tune bothers her. My mom... So wait a minute. You can't tell me every person that's ever sang is going to be around God's throne in tune? Well, I think we'll all be in tune. But the thought of every native language singing the same thing at one time? Oh, church. Ready? This is where he gave clarity to it. He said he could hear every voice individually and understood every one of them at the same time. Oh, Lord Jesus, imagine. I'll just go back. Let's just go back to what Scripture says. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard what's in store for those who love them. I think, sadly, too many of us are focused on, oh, I can't wait to see all that gold on the floor. It's going to be the last thing. And by the way, us as humans, we're fascinated. Lord, how in the world could you make those two gates out of pearl? You know, I do construction, and I mean, I guess you get a really big one. How many times we focus on things like that? I can't wait to see what the throne room of God's going to be like. Can you imagine? I can't. But I long for those days. Because there's going to be no more night. There's going to be no more pain. There's going to be no more tears. He said it'll wipe away every tear from our eyes. And by the way, we won't have a son. He says the Lamb is the light. Meaning God is going to be the absolute, all-consuming passion, focus, and the very central nature of everything that occurs in eternity. Now, that's the other problem. You know, we can think, okay, you know, imagine what... We can't even begin to fathom how massive the gathering of believers. And you're not going to have to worry about getting anxiety, those of you who struggle with it in big groups. Isn't that nice? You're not going to have to worry about having a panic attack in God's presence and deciding that you need to go be by yourself for a while. I don't think we're going to be able to get enough of it. And I think exactly what I was telling you about, when you're praying and you find yourself wanting to spend more and more time with the Lord, you know what we're doing? We're practicing. Because he's going to fulfill that in a way that we could never begin to imagine in eternity. Third and final thing I want to share with you, church, here it is. The new covenant in Jesus Christ did away with soul sleep and the hindrance to being able to enter God's presence. That's what Jesus Christ did, as we're going to culminate this week with Sunday morning as we celebrate the resurrection. God gave us the ability. Why was that temple veil on resurrection morning torn in two? It was showing there was no longer any dividing wall between us and the Father. No longer was there a priesthood in an earthly perspective, in an earthly sense, that we were going to have to follow and adhere to. No. The new covenant was established and was now and forevermore. Praise God. And I ask you then, as your King come, I ask you this morning, if you breathed your last breath, what is your eternal zip code? We all have one, and there's only two. It's to dwell in God's presence because Jesus Christ became your sin. He bore every thought, every action, every intention. Either he's paid in full, or today, the reality is that you're an object of God's wrath. Not because God desires that. It's because God gave us that thing called free will. And it's that thing that I say to you often, I can't will you to love the Lord, or I'd will everyone in this, every person that I've ever known or seen, I would will to love Jesus against their will if I could. I can't do that. God gives us free will, church. And this morning, you have a free will to flippantly take the things of the Lord and say, oh, he's just one of those old Bible-thumping preachers, you know. He gets into it a little too literally, and, you know, he's just a little too serious about this stuff. Church, life is but a vapor. All of this stuff. I grew up in some of the best times in this nation's history. 1974 up till now, all through the 80s, I got to watch as a conscious, you know, child in the early 80s and grow up in some of the best years of our nation's history. I've watched a lot of people that I was trained and taught to look up to from our culture when I was young, who not only seemed to have it all and seemed to fit the mold of what success was, but I've watched many of those people die horrific deaths, empty, alone, some by suicide, some from overdoses, and all the things that we have watched some of these people. And I just speak to that in Jim Elliot's words. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. You're not a fool to give your life for Christ and to Christ. But you are if you hang on to the things of this world, because we can't hang on to this. All of this is fleeting. All of this is temporary. All of this is passing away. What I'm talking about this morning, church, is eternal. Not because I say it, but because the unchanging truth, which is in and of God, in his very character is unchanging. We know because what we know about God is he does not change, and what God was in eternity past, he is now and will always be. That's why I tell you, our culture changes all the time. The fashions change sometimes within weeks or months. Everything changes. You know, you've got a school system now that doesn't even remotely mirror what it was when I was a child. You've got a culture that doesn't in any way, it is these days sadly rewarding the lack of work, penalizing it, punishing it. I know in many cases right now there's certain things, I can't go into details because it don't speak to situations, but there are benefits right now that if you've lost a spouse to death, that you will be penalized if you're remarried. And it sets the deck up so that you will live a life that is not going to be honorable because you lose a tremendous benefit if you try to make things right and do things right. That wasn't the nation that many of us know. But sadly, it's transformed in many cases in that. But now, how do we respond to that? We as Christians, you do the right thing. You do what God's word says. You honor it. Well, I mean, what happens if I go broke? Who cares if you go broke? What did God say? I will meet all your needs according to my glorious riches in Christ. We have a promise of God. So we follow the promises of God no matter what the consequences or the implications may be, because he is ever full. So I circle back to my question, where's your eternal address? Are you giving the foolishness of this life to gain the eternal promise of God's truth? Or are you enjoying the fleeting pleasures of a short season with an eternity potentially facing you, where God will give you your will. The sad reality is it's the absence of every good and perfect gift. It's the absence of knowing the peace of God that surpasses all understanding that guards our hearts in Christ. It's the absence of light and oxygen and hope and peace and relational fellowship, which is what God created us to experience. Remember, hell is merely the absence of every good and perfect gift. Church, I want to tell you something. Jesus paid much too high a price today for us to be robbed by a lie. And I hope you know Christ as Lord and Savior today, not just in word, but I hope you are walking with him. I hope you've heard Jesus come by and say, come follow me, and didn't sit there and go get a glass of iced tea or a gallon of it sitting on the beach shouting, I met Jesus. I met Jesus. I met Jesus. It was amazing. But yet never followed him. I hope this morning you're a follower of Jesus Christ and not just a fan. I hope you realize all that Palm Sunday represents as it points to what? The culmination of this week, the Passion Week, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the kingship abolished, Jesus, our eternal high priest. This morning we can boldly go into God's presence because of all that we, this week, have been made a part of in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's his desire this morning for you. And if you're here watching online this morning and you've never genuinely placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, there's only one prerequisite, that you realize that you are separated from God, born a sinner, an object of God's wrath, that this separation is a place we know as hell. God sent Jesus Christ to build the bridge, to give the ability and opportunity to restore fellowship with the Father. And the thing is, though, God gave us free will. So I ask you this morning, what have you done with the gift of salvation? What does it mean to you today? Is God right now your righteousness, your redeemer? Or do you sit on the side right now that God is your judge? I pray this morning, if that's the case, that you don't leave this building without confessing your sin, placing your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and experiencing the life that he created you to live. Let's pray. Father, thank you, God, this morning for the beauty of your word. God, I'm so thankful as Fred Zachariah, the amazing 400 years before it happened, prophecy of Palm Sunday, Lord. God, we're so thankful for all that we're able to experience and we're able to read and understand through the Holy Spirit giving us the wisdom. So thankful, Father, for the truth of your word, the comfort of your word, the conviction of your word. Father, so thankful this morning that the reaffirmation of the new covenant promises, Lord, we can rejoice in today as we're getting ready to celebrate this week that is so foundational and central to all that we are and all we believe. God, I pray this morning, Lord, for anybody in this room watching online today that's struggling or hurting. Father, I pray you'd overwhelm them with the understanding that come to you all who are weary and be laden, and you will give us rest. Father, I pray today those who are needing rest would find it as they rest in you. They place their faith, their trust, their hope, their everything. Father, I pray today, Lord, for ones that have decisions that need to be made, Lord, ones that are struggling with things, relational issues, children, whatever it is, God, you know. Father, we're so thankful that you not only hear our prayers, but you answer them. Most importantly this morning, Lord, for anybody that does not know you as Lord and Savior, they've known all about religion and maybe today have sat here for the first time and truly got it, truly understood what it means to be lost. And Father, they feel an immense amount of conviction. Oh God, thank you. That's the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that does that work. And Father, I pray for those people, or ones that could potentially be online, that today they will listen to that loving call from the Holy Spirit that says to repent. Father, they would place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ today. Ask you to be their Savior and the Lord of their life. God, I pray today that we will make the decisions necessary, Lord, to leave here more convicted and more on fire to share the hope of salvation than ever before. God, thank you for this celebration of Easter and all that it means to us as Christians. I pray this week we will be in prayerful reflection and remembrance of the great price that was paid so that today we can live for you, we can honor you, we can glorify you because we have been paid in full, redeemed. through the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. During this invitation, Father, may you alone be glorified, lifted up, honored, our King, our Lord, our God. And we ask this all in the precious name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Headed Home with Pastor John. If you'd like to know more about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, please visit our website at longviewbaptistchurch.org and click our contact link. Thank you for joining us.